Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's message. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if this message has inspired you to take your next step in faith, please let us know by reaching out to us through social media or the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you through His word today. Blessings.
In the Old Testament book of Zechariah, a message of hope and encouragement came to God's people at a time when they were very weary and discouraged in their attempts to rebuild the temple. When they remembered and considered the glory and the majesty of the former temple, the Bible tells us in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12, that they wept at the comparison. When they considered all of their toil and in all of the work that they were doing to lay a new foundation for this new temple, they began to despise it as small and insignificant in comparison. And so here in the fourth chapter of Zechariah, from which I'm preaching today, God had to remind the people that it was His work. God had to remind them, as He has to remind us from time to time, that His work ultimately is not by human might or human power, but by the power of His Spirit. And then comes the question here in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, that I want to address in a way that relates to us. And here's the question: for who has despised the day of small things? One answer to that question is that the world has often despised the day of small things. The world recognizes and glorifies the big and the magnificent and the high and the mighty. And we see it everywhere. We see it in business. We see it in the sporting world. We see it in the entertainment world. And unfortunately, that same mindset and spirit of the world has influenced many parts of the American church. But look, there's no question today that our God is a big God who does big and magnificent things. Amen. The God we serve created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. He put the stars in their place. He calls them all by name. That's what the Bible tells us. God put the stars in their place. He calls them all by name. There's nothing too difficult for Him. The times when I've been at the beach and I've looked out at the ocean, the vastness of the ocean. I can't do that. Every time I've been to the beach and I look out at the ocean, it always reminds me of just how big and magnificent and awesome God is. The psalmist said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" I want to suggest to you today that it's not difficult seeing God in the big and the magnificent and the spectacular. The mistake is failing to see God in the small details. And if you allow me to digress for a moment, Speaking of details or the lack thereof, I thought I would share with you, I think there are about six of these ads that appeared in newspapers across the country where they probably could have paid a little more attention to detail. Here's one, for sale, antique desk suitable for lady with thick legs and large drawers. Man wanted to work in dynamite factory. Must be willing to travel. Dog for sale, eats anything and is fond of children. And here's one, illiterate, question mark, illiterate. Write today for free help. Stock up and save, limit one. And then this last one I wanted just to toss in here. This came from a laundromat / alteration service. It says, we do not tear your clothing with machinery. We do it carefully by hand. So apparently they didn't focus on some of the details there. But here's the problem, getting back to the message. There are many people who think that the God who created all that is, that he's too big. He's too busy running the universe to be concerned about my life. There are people who think, I'm just a speck of dust in the universe. How could God, the creator of all that is, how could he be concerned about me? But folks, listen to me very carefully. I'm talking about the gospel today. The gospel is all about smallness and humility. The gospel is all about how the God of all creation manifested himself in a microscopic divine seed implanted in Mary by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came into this world that glorifies the big and the magnificent, the high and the mighty, he didn't come to a king's palace. He came into this world. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God for that. Jesus came as a tiny, helpless infant. He was born in a small, insignificant town in a lowly manger among a lowly, humble people. In fact, this is what tripped up a lot of people right from the get-go. They said, isn't he from Nazareth? Isn't he from that little insignificant place? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not Mary his mother? And his brothers, James and Simon and Judas, are not his sisters all here with us? And so the Bible tells us in Matthew 13:57 that they were offended at him. They despised the day of small things. They despised such humble, small beginnings, and they missed God. Many people today miss God by failing to see God in the small things of life. But I want to suggest to you today that anything other than that is not consistent with God as he's revealed in the Bible. I want to walk through some of this with you today. This is a pattern that I'm talking about here. When God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage, here you had Pharaoh. He was the most powerful man on earth at that time. Israel was in bondage there in Egypt. How did God deliver them? Did he have a big army that came in with? No. He snatched a little baby out of the Nile River. Moses grew, became a man. One day he was hiding out on the backside of the desert, and when he was 80 years old, God placed that staff in the hand of Moses, and Moses went before Pharaoh, an 80-year-old man with a staff. And he said, let my people go. That's how God operates. When Samuel went looking for a king to replace Saul, God sent him to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem. A relatively unknown person. No one knew about Jesse. In a small, obscure town. And when the prophet Samuel saw Eliab, Jesse's oldest, he said, "Surely this must be the Lord's anointed." Eliab was physically impressive, just like Saul had been. But God passed over Eliab and six other brothers. And he chose, you know who he chose? Someone tell me. David. The Bible says that David was ruddy. Some little ruddy guy. And that's the one God chose. And then David, he goes out against Goliath, this giant, with a simple sling and stone, and wins the victory. I was thinking about the prophet Elijah when he was standing there at the mouth of the cave, and you know, all these spectacular things came. The wind blew, the earthquake came, the fire was there. God wasn't in all of those spectacular things. God was in the still, small voice. I could talk today for quite a while about Gideon, Ruth, Esther. What about the shepherds? These humble shepherds. The good news of the birth of Jesus came to them. I tell you again that this is the pattern of God, how God works. Look at this passage. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised." You see, God chooses the despised. He chooses the small things. "And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Now, following this pattern here, let's think about Jesus and His ministry on this earth. Number one, Jesus did not reveal God as some distant, untouchable, omnipotent being. Jesus came and He revealed God as a loving Father, caring, loving for each person, loving you, caring for you. When Jesus taught about the kingdom, He took a little child. You see, Vacation Bible School this week. Pray for God to bless it. Pray that it bears fruit. Because you see, this is what the kingdom of such is, the kingdom of God. This is what it's all about. And when Jesus taught about the kingdom, He put a little child there. And He said, "If you want to be My disciple, you must first become like a little child. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What did Jesus say about faith? You know, a lot of people want to have a big, bold, grandiose faith. What did Jesus say about faith like that, that moves mountains? He said, in fact, I carry this. You probably can't even see this. This was 2 years ago at the ladies' retreat. They gave you can't see it. I can barely see that seed. There's a mustard seed in there. It's so tiny. One of the smallest seeds there is. And Jesus said, if you want to have a faith that's bold, a faith that can move mountains, you need to have even faith as a mustard seed. There's power in faith. Why don't we exercise it more? You say, is God concerned about me? Jesus said, even the hairs on your head are numbered. That's getting a lot easier for God with me. God must have a tremendous accounting system. But the analogy is that He cares about us. And so, back to Israel. In Zechariah, where I started, the people began to think, you know, what difference is my effort going to make? Maybe you reluctantly signed up for Vacation Bible School, and you're wondering, like, is what I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to be sitting at the table back there, or I might help with snacks, or whatever it may be. You know, you might be thinking, does this matter? Yes, it does matter. Because here's the point of this message. Small things is where God begins. Something big starts with something little. Look at this verse here. If you are faithful in little things, you see, a lot of people, they just want to skip the process. They want to skip the steps and do something great. It doesn't work like that. Not with God. If you want to be if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you will be dishonest. You won't be honest with greater responsibility. So when we're walking obedience and we do those little things, then God gives us more responsibility. Because there's a trust relationship there. He begins to trust us and open up more doors and do more for us. I was thinking about Mary. Remember, Mary came and anointed the feet of Jesus, and some of them despised it. You know, why are you doing this? But that small act of love and devotion, Jesus said, would always be remembered. Does it matter what you do? Yes, everything matters. Every prayer you pray, every act of worship, every deed of service, every gift you give, God knows it, He remembers it. And He will reward every effort. One day, the multitude followed Jesus out. They were out there in the wilderness and they got hungry. They didn't have any food. You know the story of the feeding of the multitude. And in one of the accounts, here comes this little boy with five barley loaves, small barley loaves, and two small fish. And really, the disciples, they said, what is this? What is this among so many people? But Jesus, he took that offering, that small lunch. And what that miracle shows us is that small things become abundantly and aboundingly sufficient when placed in the hands of Jesus. Little is much in the hands of a big God. Amen. There's no telling what God is able to do. So, I want to give you two more examples before we turn the page here. One is the parable of the talents. Remember that story? The master of the servants, he gave talents to the servants. And here's a key phrase, absolutely key: according to their own ability. God will never give you, he's not going to tell you to do something or give you something that you don't have the ability or that he won't give you the ability to do. But it was according to their ability. To one, he gave 10 talents. To the other, 5 talents. And then to one, he just gave 1 talent. And so the one with the 10 talents, he went out and produced fruit. The same with the one with the 5 talents. But the one with the 1 talent, what did he do? He despised the day of small things. He looked at it, he probably compared, oh, look what that guy has over there. Look what he's doing. And he took what he had, that 1 talent, and he buried it. And the master of that servant was angry. So here's my final thought today. And stay with me here. Don't start thinking about lunch, okay? You'll be out of here pretty soon. Because I want you to get a hold of this thought here. Back to Zechariah and the Israelites. Yes, they got discouraged and weary and trying to lay that foundation, but a word of hope and encouragement came to them. You know what? They finished it. They finished it. And here's the thing. Here's what they didn't realize. They didn't realize that one day, Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, would stand in that very temple that they built, teaching, healing, restoring lives. And so here are 2 words of encouragement. Therefore, my beloved brethren, I love this verse. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, no matter how small you may think it is, your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And then the last verse that I want to share with you is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul the Apostle said, and I am sure of this, I'm confident of this, I'm positive on this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.